Amen. Let me read one scripture. We'll let you be seated in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23, the words of Jesus. And if we were to read most all of the 25th chapter of Matthew, this is the parable of the talents, where the master had went away and he had left five talents with one servant and two talents with another and one talent with another. And then he came back after a period of time to see what they had done with his talents. And so here the Lord is responding to one of those. And in verse 23 it says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in to the joy of the Lord." Amen. You may be seated. So talking tonight for just a few moments about the rewards of faithfulness. And the master, if we were to read through the parable, you know that two out of the three, Jesus, the master responded in the same way as what we read here in verse 23, where he told them, well done, because they had multiplied the talents that their master had left with them. The one that had five had gained five more. The one that had been left with two gained two more. And the one that had one, was afraid of his master, and he didn't want to take any chances with it, and so we hid it in the dirt, and he didn't do anything with it, and it didn't have a good outcome. So we want to be good and faithful servants. I'm looking forward to hearing the Lord say that to me someday. That's what we're trying to do. That's why we're here in Bible study on a Wednesday night, and we endeavor to be here whenever we can, because we want to be good servants. We want to be faithful servants. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. Being faithful is certainly connected to faith, and but it's not exactly the same thing. Faith, the dictionary tells us, is a strong belief or trust in something or in someone. And of course, we know from Scripture that the Bible says, and I believe it's Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. So we have to have faith to believe God. We have to have that strong belief, that trust in Him, that He can do things. And if you've been living for Him very long, you know that He does still do things. He does still do things that are impossible for man to do. Most all of us could raise our hand and say that God has proved Himself faithful to us in some way in times past, and did what was the miraculous. Perhaps no one but you may have realized it was a miracle in your life, but God has done something for you. It couldn't have happened any other way if there wasn't a supernatural God involved. And so we know that we are saved by faith. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 52, Jesus is speaking to a blind man here, and Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And so we know that healing comes by faith. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 24, Jesus answering saith unto them, "Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you," in verse 24, "what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." And so that's the essence of faith, is believing on a loving God, believing on a generous God, believing in a God that is faithful and just and cannot lie and fulfills His promises to us. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 20, we see Jesus forgiving sins because of their faith, because somebody believed. And so we know that we have to have faith. But if we are really honest with ourselves and with each other tonight, we could all say that there have been times, maybe right now, if not tonight, maybe sometime in the past, when you didn't feel like a pillar of faith. You didn't feel like someone that was so spiritual and so in tune with God that you could speak to a mountain and that mountain would pick itself up and slide into the sea. Yeah, but we find in Scripture that if we have enough faith, we should be able to do that. But I don't know any of us that have done it yet. And so we also find in Scripture that there are spiritual highs and lows in living for the Lord. And there are some times that you know, I say that a little facetiously about moving the mountain, but we can bring that down to a much lower level in ways that are pertinent to you and I on a daily basis. And sometimes it's hard to have faith, especially for ourselves. It's easier to have faith for someone else. You know, sister so-and-so sick, sister, I'm going to pray for you and God's going to heal you. And you believe it when you say that. And you pray for them and God responds to that faith and he does the miraculous. But sometimes it's much harder to have that kind of faith for ourselves and for our own situation and our own difficulty and our own trial and our own, you know, just life, that happens. And if you have ever felt that way, and if you haven't, then this is still for you, because sooner or later you will, feel that way. Even when faith is gone, when you feel like you don't have any faith, we can still be faithful. And so we're going to talk about that little bit of a difference there between having faith and then the rewards of faithfulness. And there is a slight difference in what the two of them are. Because being faithful is something we can all do. You know, I may not never have enough faith where I speak to a mountain and it moves itself from this zip code to another zip code or out into the ocean. But I can be faithful. You know, I can get up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm going to be faithful to God today. I'm going to do the right thing this hour. And the next hour, I can make the same decision that I'm going to be faithful to what I have committed to God. I'm going to be faithful to what I have pledged to God. I'm going to be faithful in my prayer life. I'm going to be faithful to church attendance. I'm going to be faithful in living for God to the best of my ability. We can all be faithful. And what we find is that when we are faithful, and what does faithful mean? Merriam-Webster says faithful means steadfast in affection or allegiance, loyal, firm in adherence to promises or in observance of duty, conscientious. So being faithful means doing the right thing because you know it's the right thing. Not doing the right thing because, you know, you took your vitamins and you feel good today and everything's perfect. And so, you know, you're going to do what you know you need to do today. No, being faithful is doing the right thing when you don't even feel like doing it. You know, when you're doing it because you know it's right, not just because you feel good. And it feels like, yes, everything's working together and everything's, it's a happy day and I'm going to do the right thing today. No, being faithful is doing the right thing just because it's the right thing. And when you make that kind of commitment and that kind of consecration to the Lord, and then over time you prove yourself faithful, you end up being this giant of faith that you never realized. You never thought that you could have that much faith. But when you just start out being faithful in the small things, then that Matthew 25 parable that we opened with, you know, the talents that the master leaves and he goes away and he comes back. And when we're just faithful with whatever God has given us, whatever he's put under our control, you know, there's some things in your life that you can't control. There's things in my life that I can't control, but you know what? There's some other things I can. I can be faithful in the things that I can control. I can be faithful in what I put in front of my eyes. I can be faithful about who I spend time with. Yeah. I can guard my mind. I can guard my spirit. I can make conscious efforts and conscious decisions on a daily basis to protect myself, spiritually speaking, to protect and control the influences. We're being attacked all the time. You know, it's a spiritual warfare that we're fighting. And if we're not prayed up, we don't even recognize it as a spiritual warfare. We just think it's life. We just go around feeling beat down, you know, every other day and we make whatever excuse for what it is. But a lot of times it's because the enemy's fighting against you. It's a spiritual warfare. And so you gotta fight a spiritual warfare, a spiritual battle. You gotta fight it spiritually. That means you gotta pray. That means you gotta get in the Word. That means you gotta come and hear the preached Word of God so that God can minister to you through His Word. And so we can be faithful. That's something in our control. We can be faithful in our prayer life. We can do whatever we want to do. You know, we do what's important to us. We buy what's important to us. Look at your checkbook. Look at your credit card statement. We spend money on what's important to us. We go to places that are important to us. We figure it out. We make it happen. So we have a lot of things under our control, And we can choose to be faithful. We can choose to become consistent. We can establish habits of loyalty. That's what being faithful means in our life. Amen. We become faithful by becoming consistent, by being steadfast in our walk with God, despite how we're feeling. That's what being faithful means. It's not based on feeling. It means maintaining our prayer life, our Bible reading, our church attendance, because that's what we do. And that's who we are. It's making a decision, and we don't allow other things to influence that decision. We get up and we do it because we've decided a long time ago we're going to be in the house of the Lord every chance we get, because we know that we are not as successful in living for the Lord if we skip a service here and there. We know it's harder to make it through the day doing the right thing if we don't spend some time in prayer before we leave the house. And so we learn these things over time. You know, who was it that said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome? So if we have a bad outcome on a given day, and we can think about it enough to trace it back to, you know, if I'd have started the day in prayer, if I'd have just carved out a couple of minutes between me and my Maker and make sure my mind was in the right frame of mind before I left the house, maybe I would have had a different outcome. Maybe I would have been a little bit stronger when that temptation came my way. Maybe. So let's change. Let's become more faithful in living for the Lord in our walk with God. So the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleases God that by the foolishness of preaching, we are saved. Not that preaching is foolish, but what God was acknowledging here is that he knows, because he made us, that we need continual reminding. We need continual encouraging. We need continual admonishing. And we get that through the preaching of the word, because God speaks to us through his word and through his servant. And we need that to continue the daily habits that are going to make us successful in living for the Lord, that will save us, that will keep us, that will preserve us until the day that he comes. Amen? Amen. If you feel like you don't have enough faith, just focus on being faithful. You can control that. You can control that. You can learn to become more faithful over time. It is within your power. And we find in Scripture that God blesses the faithful. God rewards the faithful. God answers the prayer of the faithful. So don't let yourself be intimidated by, you don't feel as spiritual as Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so, because they, look at that, they look like they've been coming to church all their life. Well, that doesn't mean a whole lot, you know. You come to church a few times and we learn how to look, you know. We learn how to fit in and we learn how to raise our hands when everybody else raises their hand. There can be people, I was talking about this with somebody just a few days ago, maybe it was Sunday, or a week or so ago, somebody didn't come to church, probably wasn't anyone here, and the name was mentioned. And I said, well, you know, there's probably going to be some people in heaven that don't go to church three times a week. And I believe it was Brother Bonham said, yeah, and there's probably going to be some people that go three times a week and don't make it. Yeah. And that's really the truth, because that's not what it's all about. It's not about just going through the motions. It's not about checking the box on a religious form and saying, yes, I'm this religion, and yes, I've done this. It's about establishing a relationship with Almighty God. But if we are endeavoring to be consistent in our walk with God and faithful in our walk with God, then most of us have learned over time that we will be most successful the more of the word that we hear. The more time that we spend in prayer, the more time that we spend reading the word and listening to the preaching of the word, because that's how God speaks to us. And that's how God helps us. He encourages us through his word. He admonishes us through his word. He scolds us through his word. He stirs and convicts our heart through his word. And so if we've learned that that helps us be successful, then we want to put ourselves under the funnel where the glory comes out. We want to get all of it we can, because we know that that's going to make it easier for us. Somebody else said a long time ago, it's easy to live for the Lord if you're living for him hard. If you're giving it all that you've got to the Lord, it's not difficult to make right decisions on a daily basis. It's not hard to live for God. But if we're trying to just straddle the fence and doing the least that we can do, you know, and still kind of be considered, you know, that we got our life right and we're living for the, but we kind of want to fit in everywhere else too that we go, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to live for the Lord if we're trying to straddle the fence and be in two worlds at one time. You can't really do it. But if you're living for the Lord with all you got, you know, if you've made some commitments and said, God, this is, I'm yours. I'm not backing down. I'm not changing. I'm not turning around. Then it's easy to live for the Lord. And it gets easier as time goes by. It doesn't mean you don't have difficulties. It doesn't mean you don't have disappointments. But we learn how to be faithful. And we learn that there are rewards that come through our faithfulness. And as we are faithful, then our faith does grow. And without even realizing it, you're going to be believing God to do more. And as you believe Him to do more, and that's faith, as you believe Him to do more, then He'll do more in your life. And He'll show Himself strong in your behalf. There's a song that the choir here used to sing a long time ago. It may have been 20 years ago. Have faith in God. Just have faith in God. If you trust in Him and never doubt, I know the Lord will work it all out. Just have faith in God. And so if you can't figure out, well, how do I grow my faith? I want to have more faith. I want to be able to believe God for all these things that I need Him to do in my life and in my loved one's life. Just be faithful. You can control that. So don't focus so much on growing your faith. Focus on being faithful. And as we prove ourselves faithful to Him, our faith will grow. Because we'll begin to believe Him for more. And as He does more for us, we'll be able to believe Him for bigger things and greater things in our life. Amen. To be faithful is the walking part, not the talking part. Some of you have known people that knew how to talk the talk. We probably all still do. There's some people that are really good talkers, whether it's about living for the Lord or whether it doesn't matter what you're talking about. They already done it. They did it twice. They got a t-shirt. You know, they know everything there is to know about whatever it is you might be talking about. And so they're really good at talking the talk. But we're talking tonight about walking the walk.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. It's not so much about the talk. Because that's just, you know, it's just a front a lot of times. And we all have the ability, and we all do. At different times, we can put on a front. You know, we can control how others perceive us to some extent. But we're not talking about that. That's the front's not going to get you to heaven. It's about walking the walk on a daily basis and learning how to be faithful in living for the Lord. Faithfulness is developed a day at a time. It's just a day at a time. And you can do it. And I can do it. We can be faithful. We can be faithful. You may not consider yourself a giant of the faith, but you can be faithful. Amen. Even when you don't feel full of faith. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45 says that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And what that scripture tells me is that if it rains on the good and the bad, then there's going to be some rain in my life. So even when I'm being faithful, even when I'm living for the Lord, even when I'm endeavoring to do all that I can to be faithful in my walk with God, just as there will be mountaintop experiences in our living for the Lord, in between those mountaintops, there's going to be a valley. And to go from this mountaintop to that mountaintop, you know, there's no helicopters. You got to go through the valley to get to the other mountaintop. And so we need to know that. We need to understand that and to expect that. So that when you are in the valley, you're not susceptible to the thoughts that the enemy would put in your mind and say, well, the reason you're in the valley is because Pastor don't like you as much as he likes somebody else. And he knows those commitments that you made in your heart last Sunday, and then he knows that on Monday, you know, you didn't follow through on them, and so, you know, and you're going through it now because of this and this and this, you know, and our mind does that. Sometimes it's just our flesh. Sometimes it's just ourself. Sometimes it might actually be the enemy of our soul that is planting these thoughts in our mind to discourage us, to turn us around. You need to know and understand that between every mountaintop is a valley. And we have spiritual highs and spiritual lows. And if you have a great Sunday night experience, you're probably going to have a really bad Monday. I don't know. I don't understand it all. But it seems to happen for me. I mean, if we have really, really good church, I'm just going to be depressed. I'm going to be discouraged on Monday. And so now, maybe part of it is because when we have good church, we get tired, right? we dance and jump, we stand up a lot, and then the preacher gets up and he don't let you sit down for another 10 minutes till he's like halfway through his message, and you're like exhausted, and we go to church hard, right? You know, we got people running the aisles and jumping up and down and doing aerobics and everything else. So we're tired on Monday. And when you're tired, you're not very spiritual, you know. We're just wore out, you know. We're just trying to get through the day, and Monday's a day that, you know, if you normally get 5 calls at work, you're going to get 20 on Monday just because everybody else been thinking about over the weekend that they needed to call you and request this or that. So Mondays are tough. And so you need to recognize that and realize that, hey, when you're in the valley, whether it's sometime Mondays might last a month, sometimes Mondays might last 6 months. You know what? There's been times in my life when it felt like it was a 2-year Monday. And I can look back now and I can recognize that, man, I was in a valley. And only in retrospect sometimes can we really recognize those things for what they are. But we need to, as we are faithful and living for God, we need to get better at anticipating those and understanding those so that we don't get so discouraged and so despondent when we're going through it. We're trying to put some, make some great spiritual thing out of it when it's just not that. It's just life. You know, it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. And so whether I'm on the mountaintop or whether on the valley, I just got to be faithful. I just got to do what I know to do right. Not because I feel like doing it, but because it's the right thing. And that I know from the Word of God and through experience that when I prove myself faithful, we're serving a faithful God. God notices. You get the attention of God when you are faithful in the difficult times, when you are faithful in the valleys and not just on the mountaintops. You need to expect that. You need to know it. When those things happen, it's not because pastor doesn't love you. It's not because you're not in the in group. It's not because for any other reason. It's just that it rains on the just and the unjust. And that's part of living for the Lord. And so we need to learn that. If you stay faithful through the trial, God's going to bring you through it. He's on your side. He's rooting for you. He's there to help us through whatever we are going through. You can pass the test. You can be faithful. We can do it. It's the little things that we just do consistently and conscientiously and living for the Lord that build that faithfulness in our life. And so in talking about faithfulness, I don't think that you can talk about faithfulness without talking about Abraham. And Abraham in Scripture is known as the father of the faithful. And nowhere in Scripture can I find that Abraham performed miracles. He never commanded a mountain to move. He never called fire down from heaven. He didn't do any of the things that we see a lot of other people in Scripture doing. Was he a prophet? We don't find Abraham prophesying in Scripture. Was he a Moses that took his rod and he hit a rock and the rock began to gush water out to provide liquid refreshment to hundreds of thousands of Israelites? We don't find Abraham doing any of those kind of things. But he's known as the father of the faithful. So what was it about Abraham that caused the God of all creation to consider Abraham a friend? The Scripture says Abraham was a friend of God. What was it about him? Do we find him doing the things that Isaiah did? So Isaiah was, we call him a major prophet because we have lots of recordings of what the prophet Isaiah did. Isaiah was a prophet that preached to kings and queens. He was in the royal palace. He was in that circle, of life, if you would. Do we find Abraham doing the things that Elijah did? You know, praying fire down from heaven eating up all the sacrifice, and you remember the story when he did that, and before all the prophets of Baal and Ahab and so on and so forth. We don't find Abraham doing any of those kind of things in Scripture. But what he was, the Bible tells us, he was a friend of God. So that tells us Abraham had a relationship with God. Because you think of your best friend and you know, somebody that you're really close to, and best friend is a loose term, what do they call it? A best friend forever. You know, and you just toss that around and use it, and I don't know what that really means, but there's probably, you know, if you've got 3 or 4 really close friends in life, then you're a fortunate person. You know, the kind of person that you know that if you called at 2 o'clock in the morning, that they would drive 40 miles to bring you a gallon of gas or whatever it might be that you needed in time. The scripture says that Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham had a relationship with God that he forged, that he created, that he grew, if you will, that developed through daily communications with God. And actions really do speak louder than words. We can talk about being a friend all day long, but actions speak louder than words. And our day-to-day actions speak a whole lot louder than our Sunday night prayer and our Sunday night shout and our Sunday night altar call. It's about establishing consistency and faithfulness in our walk with God. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." It's not a, living for God is not a physical race. You know, in a physical race, it's the one that runs the fastest, that wins the race. But that's not what it's about. It's about the one that learns to ignore the distractions, and to be faithful despite, what might be beside the racetrack, despite what might come before us, despite whether we're on a mountaintop or in the valley. The ones who ignore the distractions, overcome the disappointments and the opportunities to quit and just keep on walking, just keep on living for the Lord. So it's not about being a spiritual giant. It's not about being a spiritual giant. It's not about whether you can make it through life without ever making a mistake spiritually. It's about just being faithful and building a life of faithfulness and consistency and living for the Lord. So in closing, if the musicians would come, Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 through 24, we read about Enoch. Enoch saying he walked with God. In Genesis chapter 6, we can read about Noah saying that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he walked with God. So both of these men, having built relationships, a relationship with God that was one based on consistency, that was one based on faithfulness. They were faithful in their day-to-day walk with God. So it wasn't one that was based on what was happening on a given day. It wasn't one that was based on loneliness. It wasn't one that was based on boredom. It wasn't one that was based on whether they didn't get discouraged on a given day. No, it was one that was based on consistent, faithful relationship with their Maker. Psalms 31:23, as you stand, it says, "O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer." Revelation 17 and 14 says, "These shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." That's who is going to make it to heaven. Revelation 19 and 11 says, "I saw the heaven open. Behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Amen. He's called faithful, and he's coming back for those that prove themselves faithful. I want to be faithful. Don't you? Amen. I invite you to find a place to pray tonight, and let's make some commitment. Let's make some consecration, some dedication to the Lord. Perhaps renew some that we've made in the past and say, "God, you can count on me to be faithful. I'm going to live for you day in, day out. If it's a month of Mondays, I'm still going to live for you. If it's 2 years of Mondays, I'm going to still be here at the end of those 2 years, proving myself faithful to you."
The more from the cup in your hand. Lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heart beat. This love is so deep. It's more than I can stand. I rest in your peace. It's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love.